Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast, here on the Nerd Party Network. I am your host, as always, Mr. Daniel Prue, and joining me are my two friends, stranded here, not in space, but in time, or maybe in the future. I don't know, 930 years in the future, possibly, 1,000 years in the future. It's kind of unclear, not really sure, but we're just kind of wandering around. And Darren and Philip, how are you guys? We have reached the end point, the seventh signal, I think.
The end point of what, Daniel? I don't know what you're talking about, Daniel.
Oh, sorry. Oh, that's right. We weren't supposed to. Oh, we were all sworn to secrecy for the rest of our life.
Yes. Oh, I don't even know what series you're even talking about. Maybe it's the animated series Lower Decks we're here to talk about. Because that's the only. or the Picard filming. We can talk about that because that's the only thing we're allowed to talk about.
No, see, it's okay, guys. I know that I broke the Temporal Prime Directive, so you guys can't talk about me or me having ever been a host on this show ever again. This is our last time we get to talk, and then I'm just wiped from existence. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I messed up.
You know, I want to call this episode Starfleet Pinky Swear.
putting it on the list.
because... Yeah.
Even your diplomatic immunity does not allow you to talk about things that you're not allowed to talk about.
Oh,
so,
boy. Yeah.
Oh, we'll get into it.
Yeah,
I only listen to admirals where I can see their full face. Okay, so I don't know.
Was
it
an admiral? We don't know.
I don't know.
You know, it must have been the same admiral, one of the admirals that court-martialed her, Michael. You know, the Shadow Squad from season one.
Like the judges of Krypton? Guilty! Guilty!
To be fair, the
and then they stuck the Discovery in the Phantom Zone. It all makes sense, guys.
All right, let's get into it then, because I'm sure.
I do want to say, in this last week, though, I have started listening to the audiobook of the... I was going to say Pegasus, but it's not Pegasus. It's the... That German book.
What I'm listening
Prometheus.
To.
Prometheus, yes. And it's good so far. I'm really enjoying it. I bought the first two books. I think there's only two on Audible right now, but I'm into the first
one. Third one's on Big Finish.
Wait. So it's a book set on the Prometheus?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is this post-Nemesis.
It's really interesting because I just finished Dayton Ward's newest book. So they're talking all like the admirals and the chain of command are still in place. So it's right around the same time. Although I could tell that Dayton Ward's book is a little bit after this because Admiral Decheyev has not been outed as a Section 31 agent yet. So she's still in command. Mm-hmm. I know we're all shocked about that.
Well,
one, but,
I finished reading the autobiography of Jean-Luc Picard, which was fills in some gaps. To recommend.
Did it leave enough for a show, Philip? Because I really hope they didn't fill all the gaps.
Does it fill in the gaps of him in Paris, you know, back in the day?
Oh, please tell me it does.
Do we get to learn about his love and Paris?
Yes, it does. And it actually does fill in, you know, like, what did he do between Stargazer and Enterprise? Or the Enterprise, sorry. You know, because that's cool. A gap that was never explained, and so they explained that. And so, yeah, it's interesting stuff, you know, near the end of the book. Well, sort of near the
Did
last.
It touch on his Dom Jot injury?
It does.
I know
does.
Technically it was the Nausicaan stabbing him, but I would call it a Dom Jot injury.
It's like tennis elbow. Yeah. It does give, because remember at the end of that episode, he tells Riker, like, well, that wasn't the first incident I ever had of the Nausicaan. And actually then, so in the book, it gives the first incident of the Nausicaan.
So they did their homework. That's good.
Yeah, because it's edited, of course, it's written, of course, by Jean-Luc Picard, but it is edited by David Goodman, who works on the Orville.
Well, you know, and, so. It's nice of him to edit it for our good captain.
Yeah. Is there an audiobook recorded by Patrick Stewart?
Oh, that would be awesome.
I mean, if you're going to get someone.
I don't think it exists, but...
Yes. Or just Brent Spiner doing Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good, too.
Because at the end, I mean, I will, you know, spoil this. So post-Nemesis, like, it's like literally right after the movie, because he has B4 and Picard talking to one of the admirals. I'm forgetting which admiral, and I know I should, but it's an admiral we know. But anyway, Q shows up and snaps his fingers, and B4 becomes Data. And so Q's like, yeah.
That seriously happens in the book?
Seriously happens. And he's like, yeah, because he's, you know, Q's basically like, you know, he's sort of doing a good thing.
I missed like, Data. Click.
Yeah. And so it's Data. Yeah, that's it.
Wow.
And it actually does go.
I'm only seeing it as Kindle hardcover or paperback, so I don't think they did an audiobook.
How many pads does it come on?
Well, technically, that's Kindle. 52. That's technically the same thing. So,
but it does actually then go in the end with JJ, you know, talking about Geordi building the thing and
the jellyfish.
And Spock. Yeah. And, you know, so anyway, so it all comes together. But anyway, sorry. Back to Discovery and not books we're reading.
Well, all right then. Well, yeah, I'm glad you guys two both know how to read. That's real impressive, guys.
I mean, technically, I listened, but we'll give me the credit. So
whatever. Literally, the credit from Audible. Yeah, there you go. yeah. So okay, we do have a lot to talk about here, and I actually kind of am at a loss how to start this.
With such sweet sorrow.
Part two. Yeah. Do we want to jump right into it chronologically? Should we tackle this piece by piece?
How do you feel?
I have a lot to say. I kind
of feel
chronologically.
How do you feel?
Well, I mean, I think we could start off with at least the fact that whenever you watch part one, you're definitely going to watch part two. I mean, they really are joined at the hip. And it's the first two-parter we get from Discovery.
Right.
Actually, you know what? I will start here. Right. And this is kind of off topic, but it is important. When I first went to watch the show, it plays an ad for some other CBS All Access show. And I was like, I got mad. And I'm like, I'm going to tweet CBS because I pay the extra $3 for no advertisements. Uh-huh. And I said, and so I literally pulled up my account and I'm like, I'm going to screenshot this. I'm going to tweet CBS because this is actually upsetting to me. I pay the money. I pay $3 a month. Mm. And literally underneath the paid plan for no advertisements, it says may also feature promotional materials.
So which is an ad.
What the hell is the point of a no ad plan? I got really upset about that, but sorry. Anyways, it's neither here nor there.
Will Wynn's future that he keeps talking about that's not capitalist, that's socialist, we will have no ads for the common man, I'm sure.
I don't know. I'm going to let you guys just go ahead and jump in. What's the first thing that you think about now when you think about, well, let's just pick something and go with it because this episode is kind of scattered and
I thought crazy. They definitely tried to touch all their characters. And I mean, that sounds like, well, of course they would, but you know, sometimes they don't. Let's give at least, you know, I'm getting ground level credit. You know, we touched all our characters, some better ways than others. So, like, for instance, we kill the admiral for no discernible reason. We save our favorite lovers, get back together, Culber and Stamets, because...
Oh, I thought you were talking about Michael and Ash. I'm like, they don't end up together, if I recall, but...
That's your favorite lovers, Darren? Well, to each their own.
Where are Culber and Stamets?
They're on Discovery.
Okay, yeah. can we rewind it? Place to start.
Let's just go character by character. That's probably the easiest way.
Perfect place to start.
And there's not much to those two. Yeah, go ahead.
Last episode, we had a whole very emotional scene where they're like, all seven of these people decided to go into the future with you. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we only want the essential personnel that are essential to getting this mission done on Discovery. And then all of a sudden, the entire sick bay is filled with the doctors and the wounded and all these other people.
I don't feel like any of the crew is transferred to the Enterprise.
No.
They don't really have it any worse. No. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the whole story.
I think they did change the plan after that, because I think after that it became more apparent that Leland was like right on top of them and they didn't have this.
I think this is plan luxury. In, I think, after how many plans we've had so far.
We're in double A, guys. Double A. It's really bad.
I was just confused. Sorry, I wanted to mention that because I was confused when Culber was like, I'm going to go on the Enterprise.
Yeah.
And then came
JK. I'm not
came either. Back to the Discovery.
JK Rowling.
I don't think he ever. I don't think he ever went to the Enterprise.
He may never have. But we
don't
know.
I don't think he ever stepped foot.
You know. You know what happened was, and I know this is ugly to say, but you just got to be true. You got to be really good to get on the Enterprise. And Culber's good, but he's not great. And so he's like, I'm going to get on the Enterprise. He submitted his transfer, and you know, Dr. Boyce or whoever it is was like, no, thank you. Really. And so now to save face, Culber's like,
you're
no,
a doctor
I stayed,
who was once
I,
dead.
Yeah,
I don't know if that you have the best record there. You couldn't keep yourself alive. So
So Culber's all like, no, Stamets, I stayed for you. Hey, isn't that a rejection transfer, Pat? Nope, that's just something else. I'm here for you. So,
if we're actually talking about a conclusion to a character arc, this not the most
done.
Unsatisfying arc we've seen in Discovery so far?
Because because I enjoy them, but they sort of just get like the check-in plot, like they're the plot D every episode of like, let's check in with Culber and one of them just do a line. We just need a line every episode. Hey, I still miss you, or no, I don't know, can't figure myself out. All right, we're done. Check, move on. Like it's sort of like if you put all their scenes together, you might have one episode.
What was the whole point? What was the entire point of Culber not knowing himself? Nothing. Because now we're here where we are, and he says, we're only going to be together forever, and that's the only thing that's ever mattered. Why did we even tell this story? Even if it was only 30 seconds at
because
a time.
Because we have to pretend we're spending time with our Discovery characters, even though the majority of the season has spent most of its time on
Michael.
Enterprise characters.
Yes.
Oh, that's true.
And Mike.
That's true.
Well, also, I don't know if it's the, you know, every
Michael's the given. Yeah.
Every relationship is its own relationship. You know, we always have to give that caveat, right? We can never understand a relationship that's not our own. But it seems a little unhealthy that the times that they most appreciate each other is when the other person is dying or dead. Like, you got to appreciate the person when they're around brushing their teeth like they used to, you know? But now it's sort of like, oh, you know, I found you, or oh, you're... neck got broken. I love you. I should have said it. And then like, oh no, Stamets, you fell through 3 decks somehow. And now I realize I love you.
Look, it's their own fault for having all that void space that the turbolift goes through.
Yeah. And so I'm just like, you know, can we have some healthy romance time maybe just of, you know, sitting around and relaxing and loving each other instead of just being this, you know, anyway, I guess it's a melodrama. What do you want?
Maybe in the future.
Yeah.
So percentage
the far future.
That's
percentage that Stamets is dead. What are we putting at? 0.5%?
Yeah, just you know this. I'm not gonna complain the whole time. Really, I'm not. But there's this.
Maybe he has no memory of you. Duh, duh, duh.
Oh my god! I would throw my TV in the garbage. I would be so upset.
Then they have to learn to love him again from scratch.
Oh my god. I could whatever.
But like,
or he doesn't remember anything of this season. He's like, wait, you died? What?
We're doing a whole reset. We're like a whole reset season 3.
So Saru is all like, time's up as they fly into the more black hole. Which normally you don't do, guys. Black holes, normally you don't. Well, I guess it was a wormhole, but anyway.
But like the whole I don't know. So like the future visions, right? The future visions. I'm going to stick on that for a second. So there were
which all come true. Basically.
Yeah. Well, except for one. One partially comes true. So we have the torpedo in the Enterprise hull. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I know the Enterprise doesn't blow up. Now I'm not saying.
Wait. How could you possibly know that, Philip?
But I'm not saying that takes away all of it because you know you could say that about a bunch of things. You know, Enterprise D is not going to blow up. You know, forever in the middle of the TV series in season 3, right? We, you know, even though it does for cause and effect, but you know what I mean. But it's sort of like, I mean, okay, there's a torpedo in the Enterprise. I mean, okay, Now, I'll admit, near the end, I didn't know if maybe number one might die or something. Because, you know, I don't know what happens to her. All I know is the cage. That's all you need. And so she could die for all
I know.
Well,
I mean, they obviously killed Admiral Cornwell because otherwise she would have been on the Discovery. Oh, wait, no, she wasn't even on the Discovery. No. She was totally on the Enterprise.
Why did they kill Admiral Cornwell?
I don't know.
Maybe her contract's up? I don't know.
So, okay, this is a perfect microcosm of Discovery crazy silly writing in like the most stupid ways, and it's like I am the only one that can hit this switch. It's just a switch. She just has to hit the button, and then
just have those roboids that, you know, popped up out of nowhere to
fix
things, which was cool. I saw people online being like, why didn't you have one of those pull the lever or pull it and then barrel roll under the door? Star Trek knows how to barrel roll.
I didn't actually understand what happened. I'm not trying to be difficult. I really don't understand. So like, there's a torpedo, and
they're trying to disarm it.
We're focusing on a manual release. I'm like, what? And I thought like, well, maybe it, I don't know, opens the door and it'll suck out the torpedo or whatever the proper terminology for space and vacuums is. But then when we next see the Enterprise, there's a big hole in the saucer. So I'm like, so it still exploded or?
This is why it's stupid.
The manual release was to close the blast door, which would protect the remainder of the deck from the explosion. So it just went forward and didn't kill Pike, who was standing right there.
Right there, staring at it.
What's the turbo lift doors or the door made out of?
Man, he wanted to salute so bad, but all he could do was stand at the most attention.
He at-eased it.
It's so absurd. Like, first of all, if that door, his one door that he's standing in front of, is strong enough to withstand the antimatter explosion of a photon torpedo 3 feet away, why is that the only one on the entire front of the saucer section that can do that?
Interesting. A better scene that does this exact same thing is an Enterprise with the mine.
Yeah, because I thought they would release the deck plates or...
Right. Yeah. But I mean, but the fact that like you have the same thing where one person is trapped and they're trying to disarm it, and it's really interesting. It's a whole episode. Yeah. It's just about disarming this mine because it's right next to this power conduit and it'll blow up half the saucer, which apparently we don't even care if that happens to the structural integrity of the Enterprise because it's good.
Because those boys over at San Francisco Yards or McKinley Station can rebuild that saucer in no time flat.
124 days, and that entire thing is like new.
Like sleek.
Well, but they're going to build it without that little extra window they had in the front because that's, you know...
They're going to lose the things in the nacelles too. Anyway. But yeah, because I feel like the time they spent, like if you're going to do that storyline, fine. But like half the time you spent. Because I felt like they were really building up. This torpedo is going to go off. And I'm like, no, it's not. Are you sure?
Or if it does, it's going to destroy the ship. Like, it's kind of like they wanted both. They wanted it to blow up, but not destroy the ship. But yet they put it there.
But it blew up.
Discovery writing in a nutshell. You want the best of both worlds without doing any of the work to get there.
Because it's like, are you sure you checked the guidance system? Yeah, I checked the stupid guidance system. But like, I mean, you know, I was like, you could have had that and still have had the so-called dramatic effect. But it's just like.
You know what they also could have done? Separated the dang saucer.
I was thinking that. I was so thinking that. I'm like, they're not going to do it.
Great.
They're not going to do it, but I want them to do it. But they're not going to do it.
Well, I'm still surprised they evasive maneuvered inside the hornet's nest that was. I'm like, where are you maneuvering away from? There's literally like thousands of these little drone ships.
Evidently, you're not familiar with Delta 5.
Maneuver Delta 5, yeah. All the maneuvers, Philip, are just like a Greek word and a number. That's all it is.
Real quick on that one scene I wanted to mention, and this is just par for the course for this episode, I feel like, was when Pike is talking to Cornwall, and she goes, "This isn't the end of your story, Chris, because I know what the time crystal told you exactly, and I'm willing to die for it." And it's like, this is terrible.
Even if it told you and you didn't like what you saw, you should still just live, because otherwise the fanboys will be really
upset. Did he put that
upset.
In a report? Like, how does she know? You know,
she has a feeling, and that's it. So
basically,
she dies
a listener.
For nothing.
You know.
She doesn't save anybody, as far as we can tell. Everybody else probably got off the ship or off that part of the ship just fine.
Well, I know. I mean, granted, I think they implied that if the door wasn't shut, it would have taken out like the whole saucer.
Oh, right. But even if they left a broom like up against the button, they would have been fine.
And then pulled a string under it. And then,
you know. So but guys, broom technology, seat belts, there's lots of things that have been lost to the annals of time. I'm just
like having a million shuttles inside of the Enterprise.
They just kept coming out. I'm like, where are they? Where are they coming
from? Someone's
pressing
the replicator button of shuttles.
It's like, I want to see the pre-launch where you go inside. It's literally just like tessellated of wall-to-wall shuttles just packed
It's like
in.
A Gatling like, gun of shuttles.
Like, okay, I want to get in shuttle B5. Well, let's get it out of the wall socket. Otherwise, I can't get in because it's up against the other shuttles. Anyway.
I don't even know what
I was
watching,
waiting for someone, you know, someone to be like, Red 5 standing by.
It got so bad.
As the princess who wanted to fight and the sister.
Oh, God, the sister. Oh, my goodness.
Okay. And the Klingon cleave ship, which apparently we had two of because we destroyed the other one.
Oh, God. Which one do you guys want to talk about?
Well, and the D7. Let's start on a high note.
I haven't even gotten to my second vision. Okay. So we can do visions. The second vision was Leland coming on the bridge and killing everyone. But in this version,
he does. He just kind of nicks them.
Yeah, in this one, everyone cleverly ducked. Which they did not do the first time. So, that happened. Like Saru is like hiding behind the captain's chair, which has zero coverage if you're 6'5". But
I don't know why we build all these bridges with the doors in the back. It doesn't seem like a really smart security. Let's just make the only entrance to this where we're not facing.
That's why Enterprise has a proud tradition of side-to-side turbo lifts. There's no back turbo lifts in an Enterprise. You can check all of the Enterprises. They're all side-to-side doors.
Well, they're side-back. I mean,
yeah, but they're not straight
back. It's happened. Not straight back.
You're not sneaking up on Worf, is what he's trying to say.
But what if you have to prove how tough you are?
There's no security on Discovery, and okay, fine, it's a super huge battle and nobody's paying attention. I don't know. There's like 8 times that they mention they can't beam onto Discovery because their shields are up, and then all of a sudden he's able to do it.
There's also the fact that, yeah, it's true. I didn't even think about the shields, how he beamed over. And there's also the fact that they Phantom Menace droid control ship him, where when he's taken out, all the other ships stop. And I'm like, well, then why were we fighting all the other ships if all we had to do was take out
Queen? There was a certain line where Captain Pike did say something like, oh, he's controlling him. Concentrate your fire. Or he didn't say that.
Yeah. No, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did say that.
And so, yeah. Having just watched The Avengers, that's what my wife and I just watched that. The first movie, The Avengers. You know, there's that whole thing too. You know, that you nuke bomb that, and suddenly all the soldiers. So, yeah.
Same thing happens in the second Avengers as well.
Ultron, yes.
Happens in a lot of movies.
Yeah. So yeah, sorry. So I just want to do the visions because they were very important. Except they were not.
Except were they?
I did like how they built the suit. And I think, I'm trying to remember if a lot of that was in the last episode or this episode, but there was like that whole kind of like team dynamic of, okay, get this part. Okay, do this. Okay, attach this. And they like actually watching the team build the time suit was really kind of cool.
You know, the only problem I had with that was it was so time accelerated. Like nobody had even dealt out.
No time to R&D, guys. We got to just make it.
Should we run a diagnostic or something? Maybe a few simulations?
No time.
Oh, dang it.
And then, of course, Michael goes, don't do that. I'll do it manually. I'll do it manually. And it's like, okay, whatever.
Especially when it fell. And I was like, well, that's broken.
She definitely went to the Iron Man school of heads up display and like chunk 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 chunk. You know.
I know. I mean, Iron Man keeps all that inside his helmet. She's like, I gotta spread out.
Oh yeah.
Good thing her arm isn't taken out. It's like, oh darn, I can't click the button now. Although, okay, come on, last jump, and you're like, boop boop with the finger. I'm like, no, you gotta like put a fist through that thing. You gotta like
We'll get to Michael.
Okay.
Okay, so we're doing characters. All right. So we've done. All right, anyway, I don't know. We're doing whatever we're doing. Yeah. Let's do Enterprise.
Saru and his sister.
Okay, Saru and sister.
I'm just throwing them out. Yeah.
Okay. Saru and the sister.
Well, that that ties in with the whole Tyler thing.
Cavalry.
Okay, did that at all work for you guys? Like,
I didn't see it coming. And the way that they explained it, like once they set up, I did like how they set up. You know, all of the red signals are to set up this battle. Like that made sense.
You see, if you had paid attention to the after credit scene of every episode, you would see this all comes together. I didn't recognize the ship for one thing. So I'm like, because at first, and again, I only saw it
once. He says it's a Barul ship, and I'm like, the Barul came to help you?
Well, first I thought he said Klingon, and then, which confused me. I'm like, okay, and then he said Baru, and so I was confused. And then it's like, oh, it's her, and
no.
And now, like, we're all warriors now. I'm like, well, that's an unfortunate development, but okay.
So he says it's the Klingon cleave ship, and it also has the Barul warriors or whatever.
Right.
So the Klingons come in first or with them, and they notice the Klingons first.
Which, that ship is freaking huge.
That is a pretty massive
ship. Yeah. Yes.
So this reminded me, very much reminded me of the TNG episode, and I'm not going to remember the title, so you guys are going to have to help me out here.
Is it a Q title?
when the Klingons show up at the end.
Oh, no, that would be Defector, the Defector.
The Defector, yes.
Well, we'll all die today, Tomalak, but my conscience is clear.
Uh-huh. Now, that was, I would argue, much better set up.
All the Klingon stuff was great in this episode. I mean, it wasn't a lot of it, but it's like the way they showed up, and then the D7s come and just obliterate things.
Yeah.
And they're all like on the bridge, and they're like just like, ah, I'm bleeding. This is great.
But I did like they're shooting at everything, and then there's like the second scene or third scene is like, now target that. I'm like, what were you shooting at before then?
Well, yeah, and you had the torpedoes and then like the phasers on the side on the cells, and they were just just looked powerful. They were just kicking the crap out of everything.
What felt for that was kind of a clever plot twist, I had no problems with it really. What bothered me was, and it was so funny because I was watching with my girlfriend, and they're like, and Saru's sister comes in and she goes, I want to fight like a Kelpian, and my girlfriend's like, what, you mean be subjugated for thousands of generations? Like, what does fight like a Kelpian mean? You don't know what the hell you're doing?
This is new Kelpia. You're thinking of old. This is new times now.
Look, they've already got a new flag, a new parliamentary government. What
are they bringing that giant cleave ship doesn't already... Like, are they contributing?
Obviously,
at all?
This is a fighter manpower squadrons. Number of ships type battle. The more ships we have, the better...
Dude. All right. Yeah. That one felt a little... That's why, like, I say, like, the whole, everything was building up to this kind of fell flat for me, because you don't need these people.
That's true. It did kind of shoehorn in, okay, we're saving Saru's people because it will help in this end battle, when it really, we just wanted to save Saru's people.
Yeah.
Since we learned about their fate, we're all like, that's got to happen.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to the signals at the end, I suppose. yeah.
So that was that. What else do we have to hit on?
So I know it's a little towards the end, but I called it with Spock. I'm like, there's a whole episode for him to not go to the future, and he doesn't go to the future. Although Giorgio does, which doesn't make any sense to me.
That does not make any sense. I mean, okay.
No, honestly, if Giorgio didn't go to the future, then everything is fine. Then every single person on that ship.
Well, here's my problem with who went never to the come future. Back. Not Giorgio, not anyone that went. I have a problem with one person who went to the future. Control went to the future. I kept waiting to be like, just dump
guys,
him. Dump him out. Beam him out.
It's okay, guys. We magnetized him, so it's okay to keep flying into the end result, even though he's on the ship right now.
Where he wants this. Like, he can still be conscious in the future, right? I mean, like, I thought the point was separating Control and... the data, and now it's like, now we're gonna bring him along. It'll be fun.
But also,
and still, I don't even know where the data was, because apparently it wasn't in the computer anymore when he looked for it there.
It's right.
Isn't
here.
Control dead? Also?
Is it?
So, well, okay, fine. Know. But at this point, it's at least defeated, right?
Is
yeah.
It?
When's
it's like she ripped the nanites out of his body.
I was gonna say Sloan, but what's
Leland.
Leland. Yeah. Once Leland is incapacitated or killed or whatever, at the very least, you could say, hey, guys, we don't have to do this anymore. All those bad guys aren't coming after us anymore.
Look, it looked really cool for all the other ships that flying into that black hole. They couldn't just stop.
This is the only plan we have that works, Daniel. We're finally excited to have a plan that works. We've tried 20 of them this season. This one's finally going.
And technically, Michael's already flown through. So if we don't follow her and we're like, nah, whatever, then she's the only one stuck in the far future. But
she also has a time machine, so.
That doesn't work anymore because they said it would only get them to the future. And all the other jumps they did.
And we don't want her to be lonely, let's follow her.
No, that's true. I just thought that. Like, so it will burn out going 900 years in the future, but doing 5 or 6 more jumps that we didn't expect in the original plan, that's okay.
Look,
we'll
maybe
get there, guys.
Maybe
we'll get
time there. Crystals are available in drugstores in your future, but here they're a little hard to get.
Before we touch on those...
Who's the president of the Federation? Jerry Lewis?
Oh, boy. Right, before we touch on the big stuff.
A Kelpian?
there's got to be other little things we're missing. Tilly did some stuff, I guess.
Not really.
Yeah, she went in the Jeffries tube and saved the shields.
And she did it. And it was funny because, guys, she used to do it as a drinking game. Isn't that hilarious?
And someone owes her a drink now. That's great. Maybe a Budweiser classic. Hey-oh.
Oh, very good.
And Jet Reno swore at the captain and got a scolding look, so that was interesting.
So Jet Reno's the chief engineer now. I mean, in case...
Is she?
Well, she's in the future with them now, so why not? Is she signed on for a whole season? I mean, I felt like that was more of like I'll play along, but I guess she's, you know, theoretically part of the crew now.
We... technically don't know what's going to happen next season, Philip, so it's really tough to say.
Will the spore drive work in the future? We don't even know.
What spore drive, Darren?
Oh, yes. Well, we haven't gotten there yet.
Oh,
haven't gotten there yet.
We will touch on all that stuff. So
wait, what about the scene where Amanda and Sarek show up for half an hour and then depart? Oh, wait, that was the other episode. But
that
still,
was the last episode.
No. I'm still
Amanda
not
shows
over
up
that.
This one conveniently.
Because, of course, Sarek can't. We cannot see him in Spock because we care about canon,
okay,
folks.
Okay, now you're jumping to the very, very
We care about canon.
So before we really reach the culmination and the big stuff at the end, mm-hmm. the really important meaty stuff, is there anything else that
I
we
will
want
say,
to talk about?
Like, I get what they were saying with the whole, like, you know, because the episode starts off with the little rousing speech and, like, okay, this is what we got to do. But honestly, I felt... I can't remember the name of the planet, but when they're doing the asteroid maneuver, that whole scene and that whole episode, much better executed. Like, you felt them working as a team, you know, they each had their role.
When we first met Jet Reno.
No. I'm talking about the, where we go to the far off planet.
Terra Elysium.
I think it's that called that, where it's like, we got to grab a, we have to use the gravity of the dark matter to grab the asteroids and save them, and they all have their plans.
Oh, yeah, that's Saru's planet.
No, it's Terra Elysium.
No.
It's the one with the church.
The one with the church.
Okay,
Anyway, I just felt like they all did their roles really well, and in this, maybe it's because there's like a million ships out the view screen. Like, it just felt so...
chaotic.
Overwhelming.
Yeah, it just seemed like... I mean, is this an insult or just a statement of fact? Well, it seems like Battlestar Galactica, the new one, of course, or I don't
honestly,
know how to say it, where it's just like, it's like a Baystar and the Battlestar Galactica with the fighters, and they're both shooting at each other. That
but
sort
Star
of effect.
Star Trek's never been about fighters.
Yeah.
This
was heavy into fighters.
I want to be careful because it's definitely been toyed with in Star Trek before, especially Deep Space Nine.
I mean, the Mars Defense Perimeter, as we all know. Three fighters against a Borg cube.
I don't want to say that it's never happened, but I do agree that it's to shift focus from capital ship warfare that we've always kind of gotten used to in Star Trek into this other thing. It feels like weird. It just doesn't fit like what we're used to.
Well, it didn't help that at least visually, I'm sure this is, I'm just picking this number randomly, but like it's 2 ships versus 14. But they're holding out for an hour. I'm like,
okay, that was cool when they were following Michael, like that whole kind of like cocoon around her. Like that was a visually interesting stuff. But take all that out, imagine just the battle now of like 13 ships against the two. That could have looked amazing just like that without all of the snow all over the screen.
Yeah.
Although now I'm laughing about the Mars Defense Perimeter because I'm just picturing the Borg going, do not care. And then they just keep going.
Well, I mean, so take, for example, Star Trek Beyond, which did the swarm ship so much.
Oh, yeah,
was so much
swarm
better.
When the, because I didn't know what was happening.
Oh, yeah.
When Leland's like, oh, yeah, what about this? And then, like, I didn't actually know what was happening. I'm like, are the ships made of missiles or what's happening exactly? Because it looked like, and you guys can tell me, what it looked like was the ship was actually not a ship, but it's sort of like a collection of things. Like it's made of missiles or it's made of spikes or it's made of,
Of, what are those, the rays from Enterprise that have interlocking...
Oh, Tholians?
No.
Oh, the Sulaban.
The Sulaban that like basically kind of had modular ship parts that
connected. Oh, okay.
That formed their Megazord.
I guess it was kind of like that.
Voltron
just,
in space.
It was just I don't know. I just it felt weird, and it just doesn't. I just don't think it really works for Star Trek.
I mean, I don't know why they didn't just use the ship codes and said, you know, four, three, two, eight,
or do it with like eight shuttles. Something like that, like a normal complement that they would have, and just have eight, just par it all down.
Yeah.
You have the two main starships and eight shuttles, and you got to make, and then you're limited on your resources, and you got to make it work. And then they do. Like, didn't they say they have like 200 freaking ships or something?
Know.
And I'm like, that's kind of nuts.
Yeah, it's.
And I got the feeling that almost every single one of them was manned. That's the feeling I got.
Yeah, I think every single one of them was.
Was it? Oh, I didn't get that. Cause
and
I
then
almost...
one of them was manned by a queen, naturally.
Right. Yeah, and this, I don't care. This is a point.
And
but
it all comes back to Spock shuttle, guys. We've forgotten. This is so long.
It also made me think, because I don't care about this, but I just pointed out anyway. I was like, those shuttles look very TNG. Like,
oh, yeah, it's
and
totally
TNG. And I'm not saying...
With, like, red highlights.
Yeah, but, like, you can make it look TOS, but you can, like, as they've done with everything, modernize it, the look, but still have sort of that classic, you know,
it's basically like a TNG shuttle with a motion picture dock on the back.
Yeah. So I was just like, I don't know, whatever. That's a little thing. I don't really care, but it's just like, oh, I just noticed it a little bit more this time. I was like, oh, it's a very modern looking shuttle.
I mean, really, when it's just the visual effects are like on so much overload, it's really hard to pay attention. It's really hard to focus, and it's kind of hard to care. Like, I don't know, man. I guess they're shooting at things. Why isn't Michael in a shuttlecraft if she can survive outside of a shuttlecraft? It's still extra protection. I don't know why she doesn't sit in the shuttle with Spock. Then she's extra protected against all these other things. Whatever, man. Like, I don't know. She has to fly in space in her Iron Man suit for whatever reason.
Yeah, and like when she was getting ready to jump, I'm like, again? Like, I saw two JJ movies. Do we really? Are we really doing this again? I mean.
Well, and they didn't launch her out of their special launch tubes that they have literally below that deck. Literally right
she
there.
She jumped. She physically jumped out of.
Because.
And I thought they said they were going to depressurize the bay to like launch her. Nope.
You just
that didn't happen.
On your mark, get set, phaser.
well, wait, no. For we talked about this a little before recording. That, of course, we had our heartfelt moment between one of our many, between Spock and Burnham.
Right.
The battle's already begun at this point. Just to be clear, like it reminded me of First Contact, where you know the Enterprise is on the scene and they bring up the Borg cube on the main viewer, and Picard has a moment. Kind of sizing up the situation. As that moment occurs, you see a ship get ripped to pieces by Borg fire. And I'm like, well, there's a couple thousand souls that you could have saved, maybe 30 seconds of earlier decision, Jean-Luc. But hey, you know, whatever makes you
see. You had to do a dramatic fire, and you got to wait. That's like a good.
I mean, the Federation wasn't sure about bringing you into the situation. Now I maybe see why, but.
Yeah, drama queen. Well,
let's queen around Jean-Luc.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about.
And how many died because Data said, "Oh, that doesn't seem to be like a vital sector, sir. Let me pause shooting like you ordered me to."
Giorgio, I know we briefly mentioned, but and I get it. Look, I'm, you know,
We get the Inception hallway fight.
Yeah, why? It was confused.
Again, it's all been done before, guys.
Well, it confused me at a certain part when they were fighting, and I couldn't tell what happened. It looked like, to me, the ceiling, we'll just say ceiling for lack of a better word, it's, you know, off, whatever, opened up like it was like a airlock, and I thought it looked like they both got sucked out. I'm like, wow, well, I guess they killed both of them.
No, that was the two other people who were in the hallway.
Oh, yeah.
And then a blast shield closed because there's blast shields all over the ship ready to close at a moment's notice in case.
It was just like a fight scene, and I guess, look, if you like fight scenes, then it's all for you. You know, that's fine. And, you know, Marvel TV series are great for, you know, their hallway fight scenes and whatever. But, like, if you cut the fight scenes, like, we got 15 minutes at least gone from this episode. Because I'm like, you know, it just went a little long for me. And I get it. Look, if you have, you know, Michelle Yeoh, that's what you're going to do, I guess. But I'm like, you're not doing anything for me right now.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of the time jumps? Like,
well,
visually, that was kind of cool. Like,
yeah,
how
that's a bigger subject that we should transition into that anyways. So...
I had a question. This episode, I mean, had a few things. So it had the space fight, which we've talked about. Take that away, it's a good 10 minutes. It had the actual fight scenes. Take that away, it's another 15 minutes. And it was a clip show, believe it or not. This was actually a clip show. There's a lot of flashbacks. I'm like, no, I really remember. I mean, I get that I'm confused by most of this plot, but what you're showing me, I actually do remember and don't actually need to see it. But it was fine. So, like, when she's doing her time jumps and they flash back, I'm like, okay. But then they don't do it all the way. So I'm like, well, if you're going to do it, do it. But, you know, flashback to all of them. Because what I got confused about is that, you know, when she's appearing at the different spots and then sending the signal, okay, let's do all five of those. That's fine. But then you have to show... And I don't know if they really explain it. I'm interested in what y'all's explanations is when she then made a personal appearance. Like, how does that work? So, like, you know, she appears above the planet, boom, signal. Got that. So she's going to jump to the next one. But then she'll do the personal appearance, you know, where she's, like, in front of herself, you know, and in the starship, or in the, whatever it was, on the Hiawatha or whatever.
Right, she starts to, like, third-person view the events
and
not,
you know,
interact with them.
When she's with Saru, but, like... How does that happen where she appears on the planet, does a signal, and then it's like, I need to go over here. So does she, like, second appear? You know what I'm trying to say?
It certainly doesn't show it that way. And another bigger problem here, I think, or at least an equally as big problem, is if we remember to the origin, the first episode of this season, all seven signals appeared simultaneously. And we see very clearly here that all of these originated at a different point in time and a different point in space.
Well, it's like they all set. It's like you have seven lights. They all turn on for a moment to get your attention, and then they turn on one at a time over the rest of the season. That's kind of how I understood it.
I feel like it's almost like
because they appeared, but then they were gone until they appeared the second time, which is the time we see.
Wait, no, that doesn't make sense, because they don't know where the next one's going to be. They never, ever know where the ones they have.
But how can they not know where the next one's going to be if all seven have shown up?
That's a great question, Darren. I wish the writers would have thought of that one. I don't know either.
Because there are seven signals, and they still don't know where those last two are. And then, and this is out of
But then
order.
How
they
do they know what they're, but how do they not know where they are if they know where they're seven?
They do know where they are. That's the whole
We're shrugging way too much during this season.
Well, just so you know,
yeah.
For all of those people who don't understand why people get upset or frustrated, it's like, this is the story they decided to tell. This is what they wanted to get out into the world. They said, I have a great storyline for what happens 10 years before the original Star Trek, the original series. And we can include characters and ships, and we can include storylines to set up all of that stuff, and this is the best they came up with, and it makes no sense, and it's complete. Everything just falls apart as soon as you poke it.
I mean, because the idea of having each little thing be a building block into a larger thing, that's cool. But then when you think about it, it's like, how did this MacGuffin start, and then where are we going to?
It would have made more sense if Spock saw the signals.
He did.
He had no. But then we only see the first one, and then it's actually sequential in order. Like, The only thing that doesn't make sense is the seven burst at the very beginning.
What also doesn't make sense is how did Spock know the seven signals? Like he saw them.
He mind melded with Burnham or the mother.
Before then or after?
It's a time travel season, Philip. I can't keep this all
because,
straight.
Because, no, the reason I ask.
When will then be now?
Because it seems like, and I'm willing to be corrected, right? It seems like, because remember, Michael found the seven signal Spock drawing in his quarters on the Enterprise.
Right.
And so I thought he mind-melded
long before they appeared.
And I thought he mind-melded with Dr. Burnham after he left the Enterprise in search of. The series that Leonard Nimoy hosted. But, you know, so that's what I'm trying to say. They've never answered, unless Darren, like, maybe you're right, Darren. Maybe you're right, Darren. Except how did he know what to search for? What was the impetus to go find her on the rock?
I don't know.
Without a shuttlecraft, mind you, at that point, remember?
I don't know.
No, none of this makes any sort of sense. And here's the thing. If we've watched all of these episodes, like, and some of us more than once, if your story makes no sense, it just, if it falls apart on the flimsiest of this episode, we joked about it going into this. Oh, it's all going to make sense. They're going to wrap it all up with a nice little bow. And of course we knew they weren't going to, because none of this makes any sense. I don't know what's happening.
Daniel,
I don't know why.
There was two lines from Spock at the end that explains everything.
Well,
we don't talk about it.
And I had some people.
All two seasons of Discovery were wrapped up in a paragraph from Spock at the end of this episode.
Don't think too hard, and we don't talk about it.
And I saw some people posting, because you don't see Discovery after they go. They're like, did Discovery get destroyed? Because if you didn't know, you could kind of think that.
Yeah.
Because you don't see. I mean, the only thing we have guaranteeing their survival was the seventh red signal.
Except here's my question also with the seven signals. Okay, so five. Six was them leaving, right? Right.
Right.
So the seventh one is like, send it when you're safe, which is cute. I get it. And that's fine. Why didn't you go to the location? It's just like, oh, it's somewhere in the Beta Quadrant. She's good. I'm like, so she just randomly sent a signal through the galaxy?
But she's not there. I think it was they're sending it back through the wormhole, like once they got to the future.
But why is it that location?
I don't know, Philip.
But that's why. So it's just like to me, I'd be like, if I was Spock, I'm like, oh, she's safe. Let's move on. I'd be like, let's go see where the heck that, maybe it's important.
Well, but they don't have a spore drive to get there, so.
Wouldn't the sixth and the fifth signal been right next to each other? Because in last episode, we came to the Queen's planet because they had a signal above the Queen's planet.
Yeah.
And then we moved a little bit away from it, so we wouldn't.
A little bit over there. Right. A little bit.
Shimmy.
Wouldn't they be like almost, I would assume, like indistinguishable at that point?
Yeah, but
that's why the seven signal burst at the beginning is what makes no sense.
Not at all. It's almost as if they wrote it and didn't think ahead as to how they were going to resolve it.
And that those seven signals were seen as a threat to the galaxy for reasons.
Yeah. It's like, what is it? It's like Ghostbusters. No man could stack books this way. It's like, no malevolent being would dare put seven red signals in the sky. We better shoot it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so, I know, what about the, do we want to talk about the Enterprise stuff at the end?
What about it?
You have, like you said, Spock's line of.
Well, I was going to say, number one's reaction.
We're not allowed to talk about
anything. When Spock walks back on the bridge, I'm like, you've seen him beardless, right?
Pike's, they both have a reaction of total astonishment.
Jesus effing Christ! I'm like, you've seen him without a beard, right?
I assumed it was, they weren't expecting him to show back up on the bridge like on active duty. Like he
ever?
Made the choice of No. It's like he made the choice of I'm ready to come back, and they were just he was just coming up to the bridge, so it was more like oh, you're back.
Yeah, but
like,
number one was like jaw dropped on the floor. Yeah,
that was more a reaction of astonishment than of like oh hey old coworker who went on leave.
Wait a minute, you have no beard. Are you Cyborg? It's a joke we tell each other.
I also like, you know, I don't know about y'all, but when I get up in the morning, I fold my shirt in the middle of my coffee table and I look at it first and then I put it on. So
He was embarrassed he had to replicate a new uniform because he'd put on a little bit of psychiatric pounds.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. So. Okay, so let's now talk about the ending. And I really don't know how you could... I don't know how you could defend this other than a complete and utter reset. Like a total...
We're sorry, guys. We're sorry.
So, Philip, you...
You know, guys, the 23rd century, it's not working for a show. Let's just go 900 years into the future. That's literally what we do.
I'm so glad you said that. And Philip, he recommended an article to Darren and I that we read, and it was about, you know...
He's trying to explain things.
It's from Den of Geek.
Explain things. Yeah. And there was a line early on in the article, and it's like, well, now the Discovery is boldly going into the future, you know, boldly going where no one has gone before. And I said, no. It's not boldly doing this. It is cowardly doing this. They set this up as a prequel series. They couldn't get it to work. And so they said, you know what?
Screw it.
We'll just say nobody's allowed to talk about any of the things that we made up. And then we'll go into the future where we can do whatever the hell we want without consequences. And that's really, to me, this has been the most frustrating thing about Discovery. Why didn't they just do this in the first place? And nobody would have had a problem with it. And it's like...
Well, it's just like Enterprise. I mean, I liked Enterprise, but I know that I'm pretty sure the original show creators did not want to do the show like it ended up being.
Right.
And again, I'm not saying it's a terrible show. Like, I really like Enterprise. But again, you have a thing where you have the creators trying to do something and CBS saying no. And then you kind of get what you get. Like,
well,
I think Enterprise initially wanted to like not launch the Enterprise until the end of the first season.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that would have worked, but it would have been different.
Mm-hmm. That would have been cool, I think, for sure.
And it would not have been a saucer.
And then the very beginning, the song would have been really slow. Like, it's been a long
speeds up a little bit every time.
Road. No, just get a line every episode.
Oh.
And the next episode, getting from. And then next episode, there to here.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
okay. I'll say this about the canon explanation. It's not a bad idea. Like, I get it, but it does work. But it feels like it's framed by the production being they're choosing to double down on the fact that one show was made after the other. And there's no reason to do that. Like, people get this show was made 50 years later. And even though you're setting it before, like, I understand that. I don't care that the bridge of the Enterprise doesn't look the same. I don't care that, you know, we're flying around in next-gen looking shuttles. But when you're going to double down and be like, no, 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 it's okay. We're going to literally explain away why you've never heard of the Discovery, even though...
Or Spore Drive, or Spock's
the
sister.
Obvious reason is it hadn't been invented yet because one series was made after another. Like, you don't need to double down on that, but you did.
It doesn't help that they do it, like, 3 to 4 scenes in a row of ridiculousness. Like...
They got to drive that point home.
Like, the scene where Spock and Michael are talking, and it's like... And Michael's like... Hey, you're going to meet a guy named Kirk. Maybe you should be good buds with a guy named Kirk. It'd be really awesome if you were friends with Captain Kirk. And it's like, oh my God, we get it. You don't have to be the origin. I get it, Michael. You're the center of the universe. You don't have to be
They've told her that several times. So.
And then the next scene is like, we've never heard of Discovery or the Spore Drive, right, guys? Right? Nobody knows what that is.
I do love the Columbo. Also, I love how Number One has, like, this huge chip on her shoulder. Like, why the F did you drag me holographically here to do, like, F y'all, screw you and the shuttle you rode on. My name's really Number One. That's my name.
She's
it's
about
number
to
one.
Read her rank and serial number and, like, not answer any questions.
Yeah. And I'm like, you're talking to someone who probably outranks you, but okay, that's fine. Yeah. It's fine. It is fine. But the whole like holographic testimony just make me like okay.
I thought they were totally there.
No,
I thought they were back on Earth.
I thought it was just.
I never got the impression that it was hologram.
I did, because like then why like I don't know. I did. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just got like boom, you're sitting in a chair. Boom, you're sitting in the chair. Boom.
Yeah, I thought it was
Well, that's
just
editing choice.
Fast cuts, yeah.
Yeah,
that's just editing choice.
I mean, there was, I
we got to speed it up, guys. We took up too much time with our eight battles and
fight
35
scenes.
Fight scenes.
And goodbyes and a lot of times Michael looking at stuff, I'm like, press the button, people are dying. Oh, God. Yeah, my wife gets upset when I yell at Michael, which happens a lot. Yeah, yeah, and then
Spock
does his Columbo, and... you know, like, well, I guess, you know, one more thing though.
Let's never ever talk about this ever again.
Well,
just a suggestion. I read an article that article section 3 that we should do it this way. We can't. What do you say? We're not allowed to interfere with time travel.
Yeah.
So to make sure people aren't tempted to time travel. We're never going to talk about the Discovery.
But like, but also the spore drive, too. Like, well, that doesn't seem like it has anything to do with it. Yeah, but it's part of the ship. And if you talk about the spore drive, you'll talk about the ship. And then you'll talk about season 2. And everyone
He's
will
like, hey, we're going to consider it a forbidden subject and a taboo planet.
Series forbidden.
Remember, this is the plan that they've had since season 1. Because they said that they had a plan.
Is this the plan?
There's a reason
really?
They chose to have Spock's sister. There's a reason, guys.
This is the story they wanted to tell.
Oh, man.
And
oh,
they
man.
Said that they were going to wrap up the spore
drive.
Wait,
you say that, yet we've gone through like 3 rounds of showrunners between now and then. I'm just saying. I feel like we're a little off the A plan.
All I'm saying is what I've been told, Darren, and what I've seen on screen. And what I can tell you is the spore drive has never made sense. So, whatever. I guess sayonara.
And
I don't know, maybe it works in the future.
And I just feel like, guys, I'm just throwing things out here. You know, no idea, stupid. Maybe we should reorganize Section 31. You know, I feel like it's kind of culpable about what happened. Maybe we should. Yeah.
You know what I think where we went wrong, guys? Wearing identifying badges.
Right. And everyone knowing about it.
Everyone knowing about it. Let's just tell everyone, hey, guys, we got rid of Section 31. Wink. And then we just never talk about it again. But we still keep doing it.
If you write these down, it is a self-aware list of all the canonical breaks that this Discovery has made. And it's why it's so unfulfilling and unsatisfying. It's like, you guys are literally just trying to erase all this stuff you just broke yourselves. Nobody put you in this position. You just kept doing stuff and not caring what the consequences were. Now,
I mean, comparison-wise, you know, I think of like Rogue One, which was a prequel set to the most popular of all the Star Wars films, like Star Wars. And yet even that, the one moment where you could look at it and be like, oh, that's kind of doesn't mesh, where Princess Leia is like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. This is a diplomatic ship. It just makes her sound like she's full of sass and doesn't care. Like, even that moment where you'd be like, oh, yeah, there's no way he's going to buy that. He literally saw you blast off out of his ship 30 seconds ago, but it still clicks. Even that works, and Discovery has a hard time doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where do we?
Okay. What are we? What do we want? Or what are we afraid of for season 3?
Well, I don't think I'm.
Can we talk about that at least some before we? No, I have things I'm afraid of.
Oh really?
Well.
I did find it interesting in a good way. I mean, I thought it was a little sick.
Sorry, I didn't mean to hijack the podcast, Daniel. Let me go stand
by
this torpedo.
That's perfect. That's
I loved when they were going into time and they did the sort of motion picture.
Okay, that was cool.
It was cool. I thought, like, one part of me was like, well, that's kind of silly and stupid. But I'm like, nah, I like it. I like it. It's cool.
They're going through time warp.
Time.
It was a bit cheesy, but yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, you know, it's a little callback. I can, you know, I can appreciate that.
Well, okay, I'm afraid that, okay, I want them to never go back to the 23rd century, ever.
I want them to stop time traveling completely.
Well, you know, the time crystal's going to power down. And, I mean, where can you get a time crystal? Oh, the Klingon planet that we know about. Full of time crystals that
maybe doesn't exist in the
we all know
year
about.
3000.
I guess.
So my fear is that we're gonna spend. I'm totally fine spending a season in the 30 whatever century. That's fine. I don't want us to end up back here so Georgiou can get off the boat and go to her Section 31 show.
She has to, though, doesn't she?
That's why I'm so upset that she's still on the ship. I want them to just go off into the star, like Star Trek VI, and just keep doing what they're doing and have adventures.
I don't know why they...
And not being about trying to get back home.
I mean,
what's so good about home?
I get, you know, maybe they have and I get, I mean, I'm not making fun of it. I get that they have this familial connection with Michelle, but Georgiou is such, it's an anchor to Discovery. Like, let her go, really. I mean, if you're going to give her own series, that's fine. Let her go. I mean, it just feels like a bog.
I mean, she was, and if you wanted that awesome part where she's fighting Leland, that's great. But then, like, have them both blow out an airlock or something.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to kill her just for me.
No, but I'm saying leave her in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I was kept waiting to happen because I'm like, why are you taking control with you?
I totally forgot about Georgiou until the end, and I'm like, wait, why are you still on this stupid ship?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
What do you want to see happen, though, in next season?
I don't know.
I mean, they didn't tease at anything, so.
Yeah. Which makes me wonder what the thought process was, because it seemed
like, honestly, we could assume that the show's over.
I know. And you just write your own ending, which would have been weird. But, like, I feel like season three announcement came pretty early on, but then I never know when they stop filming and when they start producing. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but they could have made adjustments if they needed to.
But, yeah, I don't care. I mean, well, I don't know. Again, I feel like I'm caught in a trap, right? Because, you know, at the end of season one, I'm like, ugh, that one. But you know what, guys? Season two, maybe they'll do something different. Now I'm like, all right, season two, guys. But you know what? Season three, whole new setup, guys. This is the one. And then I'm like, I don't know.
So wait. Oh, gosh, guys, it's all coming in back now. Season one is the Next Generation, where we have crazy shenanigans.
That's right. Chaos
and
on the bridge.
Duplicate people. Then season two is a massive war against control, just like Deep Space Nine. What does that lead us to? Season three, voyage home like Voyager, the whole season, except we're going to do it in one season and not as fulfilling in seven. Maybe.
Yeah.
What do you want to happen?
Yeah,
next
Daniel. What's happening in Star Trek Discovery season three?
Save us, Daniel.
Who's the captain?
It better be Saru. It won't be. It'll be like.
There'll be like a hologram of Pike's double, and well, you technically are thousands of years older than me, sir. So you have seniority. So here's the center seat.
Now the ship has become sentient, and so it's now the captain.
I'm the captain now.
So this is beyond the time fleet. This is beyond even Daniel's, right?
Now
beyond the wells.
I'm going to throw this out here. We don't actually know where they went. We know where they wanted to go.
We know where they wanted to go.
930 years into the future.
No, we know where they wanted to go.
I see what you're saying.
We technically never saw them get there.
We got a seventh
signal.
And
if Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures taught us anything, it's that time travel is really unpredictable. Because
we got a seventh signal. But, again, to me, Spock's like, oh, that means they're okay. I'm like, you have no idea what that seven. Go to the Beta Quadrant and find out where they're... Because they're like, Captain Pike's like, I don't know, where you want to go? And everyone's like, I don't know, you're the captain,
which,
where you go? I'm like,
I'll
go to the signal.
I'll just take this moment to remind everyone that the Beta Quadrant is literally like the left side of Earth.
Yeah.
It's really not that far. It's like half the Federation. But it never, never gets any
of
the
left. But it's also half the Romulan Empire.
Oh. But anyway, so yeah.
I just think it's important that everybody remembers that a line in this episode... When Spock was talking to Amanda, an actual line written by a human person and spoken by a human actor was, we will never speak of her again in the company of other people. So, sloppy, stupid, silly.
You got to drive the cannon home.
God. Anyways, so you know what? I think next week the plan is to do a kind of a season two wrap up, right?
No, forget it. All right, what we're gonna do instead?
Whatever.
Yeah, no, we've already vetoed that.
Yeah, this is my idea for next week. It's because, you know, we don't want to, Discovery is part of, as much as we, you know, kick it around, it's part of the canon. I'm not pretending it doesn't exist. And then we sort of
have to. As much as it wants you to, Philip.
Right, I know, even though we're not allowed to talk about it anymore. And it is trying to, you know, it's an interesting exercise to try to make it fit. Like, you know, when, you know, I feel like it kind of is the whole, like, you know, we adopted the Delta of the Enterprise, you know, for the entire fleet in the 24th century. And so it's like, you know what, guys, because the Discovery didn't exist, like, even the uniforms they wore, we got to get rid of those, like, nothing. So let's just go to what was the Enterprise using? Let's use those uniforms, guys. All right, let's just use the Enterprise uniforms. But anyway, but no, for next week, I thought we would talk about, instead of hitting every Star Trek series, because there's a lot, so I'm just gonna pick three sort of the big ones. Next Gen, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager. We're going to be talking about their season two finales.
Oh.
And, yeah, well, no, it's great until you remember what season two of Next Gen was, Daniel, which Philip reminded me.
What is the ending? Is it is it the stupid one, the ice people? The people from the 20th century?
No. It's, no, stupider. Think stupider.
Shades of Earl Grey.
Oh, that's
Shades
right.
of Grey. Yep, that's season
two. Can we, like, not count that one?
Nope. So it's going to be Shades of Grey from TNG. It's going to be the Jem'Hadar from Deep Space Nine.
Oh, that's a good
one. That's automatically going to roll over TNG's crazy.
And it's going to be Basics Part 1 from Voyager.
Oh, okay. All
right. Oh, that's right, because Part 2 was the beginning of
season
and then 37's was after that. Or
no,
something.
So 37's was the first episode of Season 2.
That's right.
So, but, and because I think, and I don't know, this is my hypothesis, we'll see. I think there was a lot of resets in Season 3's. If that's the plural of season threes.
Well, I have heard Jonathan Frakes say that he felt Discovery has grown the beard. So.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed when I saw him say that.
Put on the collar, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pip's on the collar. Yeah, dude, if they show up with collars next season, like even better collars with like ranks on them, I think we'll just die.
Hey, it's the future. Right. We can wear whatever we want.
Well, we are certainly not done talking about Discovery. I'm sure we'll get some lots of news to talk about before, but they are trucking ahead full steam with season three. So, and who knows? Maybe something will matter, but we don't know. It might not. It might be all for naught. But we'll get there when we get there, I suppose. And but for now, people can find me on Twitter at @OneUpDan. That's the number one, not the word. If you want to talk about what was the number one worst line in this finale, because I have like 10, but I know I'm getting worked up again. Philip, if people want to get hold of you, how would they find you?
They can find me on Twitter at NC Public Servant. You can tell me what you enjoyed about season two and the season two finale, because I am always fine with hearing how people enjoyed it. I'm not going to be some crazy person. But anyway, so yeah, I hope to hear from you.
And Darren, if people want to get hold of you as well, where would they find you?
They could find me on Twitter, Twitch, or Instagram under username Dr. Sci-Fi, DrSciFi.
Fantastic. And we will catch you all next week here on SETI Alpha 3. I'm Daniel Prue.
I'm Daniel Prue.
No, I'm Daniel Prue.
And I'm not allowed to talk about myself.
Stranded here on SETI Alpha 3.